Good morning to Andy Burns, proprietor of Biff Bam Pop, the pop culture website, and just generally all around awesome things on your site.
Oh, thank you. We try.
And a not so awesome thing, though, obviously being covered in the pop culture and particularly horror world over the weekend, the passing of famous director, iconic director George A. Romero.
You know, life happens like so quickly. So, and I say this because I am working on a new book that's going to come out next year, about Stephen King's The Stand. Next year is the 40th anniversary of the publication. So I'm working on this new book.
Sounds great.
Looking at all the iterations of The Stand, there's a miniseries, there's a comic book adaptation, there's the, then there's this sort of the King novel. And at one point in the 1980s, George Romero was supposed to direct a big screen version of The Stand.
Wow.
And, you know, I've met Romero, and I have lots of friends who were far more, I mean, really, I met him once or twice, but I have friends in the horror community that were far, far closer to him. And I was about to reach out to one of them, a fellow named Dave Alexander, who is doing a project called Untold Horror. And what that is about all the horror films or TV shows that never actually happened. And Dave recently met with Romero to talk about a whole bunch of horror things that Romero had worked on that didn't happen. And one of them was The Stand. And I was literally, you know, about to reach out to Dave Alexander from Untold Horror and say, hey, could you hook me up with Romero so I could talk to him about The Stand? And then this news came out yesterday. And, you know, so George Romero is the father, the godfather, the mastermind of zombie filmmaking. You can't find anyone that would ever argue that, because they would be wrong. Night of the Living Dead, the late 60s film, was and is so hugely influential to filmmakers today. Especially like genre filmmakers and big name filmmakers, like, you know, like a Guillermo del Toro, like absolutely revered Romero. We wouldn't have The Walking Dead without George Romero.
Right.
So his impact, I saw on Facebook yesterday, and I don't know who wrote it. Like, it was just something, you know, it was something that somebody shared. And what the person wrote was, for the non-horror fans out there, this is our David Bowie moment. So try to be a little understanding. And that's it's a very bold statement, but it is very accurate, I think. You know, there are a few people in the horror genre that have made a real impact on culture. And not just pop culture, but culture as a whole. You know, I would say Stephen King is one of them, you know, like who sort of, you know, transcends the genre. But with George Romero, who actually had a hand in creating the genre.
Right.
You know, and he was also, he lived in Toronto. He lived in Toronto the last years of his life. He married a Toronto woman. He had a condo down on the Esplanade. He did filming here. You know, he was a guest at regular conventions. You know, I was saying yesterday, he's an honorary Torontonian. I met him at a screening for Land of the Dead. I think it was probably about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe a little bit longer than that. Land of the Dead was the fourth of his zombie films. He did about 6 in total. And Land of the Dead was actually shot in Toronto. And
well, he had a resurgence, because you're saying 1967. You go, wow. You know, and then you realize a lot of those moved, Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead. And
yeah.
And a lot of – I know he didn't necessarily direct all of them, but that whole resurgence of them, that's him. He started it up again, like it's like 2001 or something.
Well,
like
you
that.
Know, he the Dawn of the Dead was the one that we're talking about, I think, was from 2004. And that was Zack Snyder. And that was a remake of his original Dawn of the Dead.
That's the one Sarah Pauley and Ving Rhames.
Yeah, exactly, which to me is one of the great – it's a great zombie film. It's different from the original Dawn of the Dead. There's, you know, but both of them are, there's commentary about culture in it. It's one of the few sort of remakes that I would say actually works on its own. You know, there's a lot of skepticism about Zack Snyder remaking that film, and they did a really good job. But, you know, Romero also did Creepshow, and he did a movie called The Dark Half that was based on Stephen King. He and Stephen King had a longstanding relationship, where they worked together quite a bit. you know, video games, Resident Evil, the Resident Evil franchise. Right. There would be no Resident Evil franchise if not for the work of George Romero. In fact, he did commercials. I believe he did commercials in Japan for Resident Evil. So
there'd probably be no. I mean, those Shaun of the Dead movies. There'd probably be no Simon Pegg. Well, his contribution to Star Trek wouldn't have happened if he hadn't done those.
Absolutely. And if you go back and you watch Land of the Dead, you'll see Simon Pegg and Nick Frost from Shaun of the Dead have a really brief cameo in Land of the Dead. It's in the first, I think, half hour or so, where there's a bar where there are these two zombies in chains, and it's actually Nick Frost and Simon Pegg. Romero really enjoyed Shaun of the Dead, and I get it, because in a lot of ways it's very much a Romero film, in that there's humor in Shaun of the Dead, for sure. It's a very funny film. But there's also moments of terror, and there's moments of emotion. You know, you watch Sean, Simon Pegg's character, lose his mom to a bite, lose his stepdad to a bite. You know, like, right. It's a surprisingly moving film. You don't necessarily think about it at the time. But, you know, and Romero was a fan of that. He was, he was very much a part of the horror community in Canada and in Toronto. You know, one of my gigs is I'm a staff writer for Rumorg magazine, and we did something called the Dark Carnival last year in Hamilton, which has been an hour outside of Toronto. And you know, he was there for 2 days signing autographs. He was there with some former cast members from his films, and you know, he was very involved, and it's sad, you know, he passed away from lung cancer, and it sounds like it came on very quickly and was very hard. But, you know, a couple months ago, he was off in Ottawa doing, you know, convention appearances, and he was still working. And in fact, this past week saw the release of a book called, I believe it's called Knights of the Living Dead. And it is a book that takes place the same night as the original Night of the Living Dead. It's a bunch of different stories, and it was edited by Romero and a guy named Jonathan Mayberry, who's a New York Times bestselling horror author. And that just came out, you know, within the last 7 days. So the guy was still working. You know, he was working. Wow. And he was plying his trade. And, you know, he's really a legendary figure. So, you know, for the horror fans, it's a big loss. And you know, if you don't quite get it, if you're not into horror and you're wondering what's the hubbub about, that's what it is. You know, this guy yeah. had a huge impact.
It's like your Western fan, John Wayne goes, or you know, my generation, Clint Eastwood goes. You know, that's it. It's the figure of the whole genre.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we would not have so much horror if we didn't have George Romero. So it's very sad. You know, he was 77. He lived a long life, but you always think that there's a little bit more. And like I said, he was still working. There was still more to come.
It's amazing, you know, how prolific he was. Are you talking about Stephen King? And you know, I do the show, and then I've got my one book out and so forth, and you think, wow, you know, it took so much to even just do all that. And then you look at Stephen King's like, oh, and here's another 1,200-page book.
I know.
And then everyone loves it. And you're like, what? Like, how does this even happen? And, you know, the guy still seems to live and eat and do his laundry and spend time with his family. Like,
You know what? It's incredible. And I think I find it interesting. Like, these are, you know, we're talking about artists who are going to who late 60s, early 70s. Stephen King's going to be 70 in September.
Wow.
And you know, you look at guys, you look at musicians who are still on stage into their 70s, and you think that, wow, they're incredible, and look at the energy, and I mean, it is incredible, but it is sort of skews the aging process in a way. But we have to realize that, like, at 70, you're not a young person anymore. Do you know what I mean? Now, you can still, I think we have seen that you can age and right. still be, and still do the things that you love, but you know, you have these rock stars who are still kind of going and going and going at into their 70s. And it's like, it's got to be hard work, right? Like, it can't be. And it's same, you know, same with like writers who are still like, you know, any sort of artists who are still going, gosh, you know, I look at my dad. My dad is like 70, 71. And like, I perceive him, you know, as still young to a certain extent in my eyes. But it's like, you're getting up there. Like, it's, you know. But you hear, like, you know, when Leonard Cohen passed away, and Leonard Cohen was you know, like, into his 80s, I think, at that point. And
he was 80 when he was 25.
Yeah, right? Sure. Yes, that's right. But you still think that there's more to it, right? Like, you know, I think we realize as our generation is watching the generation or two generations ahead of us get older, there's still a lot to give. Like you may be old in a number, but yet you're not old in terms of what you still have to give. Let's say from an artistic standpoint, you know, art, you're not done with your art.
Yeah, no kidding. Speaking of not being done with your art, I got to ask you, because horror was originally a very sort of low-tech thing in many, like high-tech in that there's special effects,
sure,
but it's all just being physically made. And there's all these people who are very sort of, there's books written and all the people who designed the various figures and so forth. And now we're at this age where everything's being done digitally. What is the future of horror? Is this, how does horror sort of move forward with that? What does it mean?
I think the horror that resonates best is, you know, someone was asking me last week, what makes a good horror film and what makes horror good? And it was coming from someone who's not a fan at all. And I was like, I don't have time to explain it. But here's the thing.
But I'm that guy.
No,
so
okay. No,
take,
no, no, no. It's
moment.
Fine. And I think everyone has their own genre of, or you know, subgenre of horror that they love, or what they love about horror.
My favorite horror movie is Scream, so you're probably like rolling your eyes because
no,
in the,
that's
in
no,
the
because
genre,
that's
it's probably not like
it, no, no, it is. It's beloved, right? Because no, absolutely. But you know what? I think what makes horror great, and what will sort of, and why, you know, not every horror film is reliant on stuff like CG or anything like that, is character, right? You actually have to care about the characters you see on screen. For it to be really great and to be really memorable, you know, that for me is, you know, when I watch horror, like a really good horror film, that's what does it for me. The fact that I might actually, you don't want to see bad things happen to these characters,
right,
but you know, bad things are going to happen to them. The other thing that I think makes good horror, and you don't need CG for it, and this is, for me personally, a good jump scare. That's what I, you know, I want, you know, it's interesting because I, you know, people really loved Get Out, the film that came out a couple months ago, the Jordan Peele film.
Okay, yeah.
Social
yeah.
commentary, it was very well done. It was very well written, but I didn't love it as much as everybody else. And the only reason I didn't love it as much as everybody else is because the scariest parts of the film, for what I want out of a horror film, I saw in the trailers. So it was a lot of jump scare kind of stuff. So there was one really great jump scare in that film for me, and I was like out of my seat, which was great. But the rest of it, in terms of the pure stuff that I'm looking for, I'd seen in the trailer. So for me, it was a great thriller, but it didn't necessarily give the horror that I had hoped for. And I think, but everyone looks for something different, you know? Like there's so many different subgenres of horror that it's really hard to say, like pinpoint what makes a great horror film? Because what I think is great, someone else is going to think, well, I didn't really dig that, you know? There's people who really go and watch horror films because they love the violence, or they, you know, they like a good gore,
right,
you know, something like that. That's not really my bag. My stuff is really more like, I want to have my hands covering my face, and I just really want to feel scared. But there's been a lot of great horror out there that hasn't been relied upon CG. Something like Get Out or Split from M. Night Shyamalan, which is a great film.
Mm.
You know, I think that, you know, there's people, far bigger experts, who could probably say, well, the future of horror is this or that. But it's kind of like, as long as you have good release horror films that have strong characters that you actually care about, because when something bad happens, it actually means something. As opposed to, you know, the Nightmare on Elm Street films can be fun, or, you know, the Friday the 13th films can be fun, right? But you don't care about the characters, really.
The original Halloween, very eerie.
Oh, that's great. The original,
you feel for her.
Absolutely. You know, to be honest with you, I think I'm one of the few people out there, too, that really likes the remake that Rob Zombie did. A lot of folks hated that it gave the character of Michael Myers, like, a backstory. But I actually liked it because it made him even more, to me anyway, it made him even more chilling. But, yeah, at the end of the day, it's about character. It's why people still read horror film or read horror novels, too. Like, you know, you read Stephen King stuff and it's like you care about the characters. If he's done his job, and he mostly does, if he does his job, you care about what happens to the characters. It's the same thing for horror films.
You can read Andy Byrne's writing at biffbampop.com, pop culture website, talking about the passing of iconic director George A. Romero. Thank you, Andy Byrnes.
Thank you, my friend.